Come out, Virginia, don't let me wait. You Catholic girls start much too late. All the sooner or later it comes down to fate. I might as well will be the one. Well, they showed you a statue, told you to pray. They built you a temple and locked you away. Ah, but they never told you the price that you pay. The things that you might have done. Only the good die young.
Hi, everyone. My name is Dr. Michael Wald, and you're listening to Ask the Blood Detective. For those of you new to the show, my nickname is the Blood Detective, and I am the supervisor of nutritional services at a holistic health center located in Mount Kisco, New York. That's about an hour north of New York City. Now, during each and every radio show, every Blood Detective show, I take it on as my badge of honor to report to you very important health concepts that you simply do not hear about often enough. Today's show topic is how radiation around you, natural radiation, medical radiation, and also radiation that your body is producing itself, and how that combined dose of radiation is going to kill people earlier. In short, we know that radiation in our environment and radiation that we are exposed to somewhat voluntarily in terms of medical tests and imaging techniques, for example, do increase our risk of a variety of diseases, particularly cancer. So what I'm going to do today is this. I'm going to begin by discussing the different types of radiation exposures, and I will be letting you know exactly how you can mitigate, at least according to the medical and scientific literature, the effects that radiation has upon your body's cells. Now, let me first give you a very concise definition or description of how radiation does adversely affect you. And by the way, there is no doubt that your health will be affected by radiation. Unless, of course, if you do not live on the Earth and in some protected environment which you have no radiation exposure, and that, as we know, is entirely impossible. So, given the fact that all of us are exposed to doses of various forms of radiation, and this is very important, that the effects of these various types of radiation may have a cumulative and very serious effect upon your body cells, namely predisposing you to cancers and autoimmune disease, it behooves each and every one of us to take steps to lessen or mitigate these effects. What is shocking and sad to me, having prepared for the show and looking over the scientific and medical and nutritional research, is that there is so much evidence that supports the use of nutrition for mitigating these effects. Several years ago, I did a TV interview on Channel 12 News. You can watch this interview. It's very short, but to the point. It's on the homepage of my website. My website is www.integratednutritionny.com. And if you go towards the bottom of the page, you'll see all these videos. I have over 60 videos ranging from Channel 12 to Fox to Channel 11 to ABC World News Tonight. But the one for Channel 12 was all about reducing the biological effects, the damage that radiation can have on your body by eating various types of foods and antioxidants. Now, hold on a minute. Some of you are saying, well, I have a pretty good diet. I eat lots of fruits and vegetables. I read that they're high in antioxidants. I even take antioxidant supplements. Well, you're probably on the right track if you're doing those things. But you'll need to prepare yourself and adjust your daily intake of nutritional supplement antioxidants for this specific purpose. So let me begin by discussing the different types of natural background sources. I'd like you to send me any questions you have. I hope you have a pen and paper ready, because I want to answer questions that you have on this topic and all the topics. You can post your questions on my blog on the website, which you can go to integratednutritionny.com, or an easier one to remember is blooddetective.com. Just go to the blog section or go to the Facebook section, post those questions. You can call me too if you have questions, or to see me as a patient at 914-552-1442. Now let's talk about natural background sources of radiation. So natural background radiation comes from three main sources. There's cosmic radiation, what's hitting the planet from outer space, and there's terrestrial radiation that refers basically to the Earth as a source of radiation. And then there's internal radiation, which basically is radiation in your body. So let's take one of these at a time. So cosmic radiation basically involves the sun and the stars sending a constant stream of cosmic radiation to the Earth, just like a steady drizzle of rain. That's one way to think about it. And the differences in elevation and atmospheric conditions and even the Earth's magnetic field all change the amount or the dose of the cosmic radiation that we receive on the planet. So you're going to be exposed to that no matter what. And what you can do is improve your nutritional resiliency against cosmic radiation and other forms of radiation that are inevitable. Then there's terrestrial radiation. So that refers to the Earth itself being a source of radiation. So we've got radioactive materials on the Earth, including uranium and thorium and radium itself, which exists naturally in the soil and in rocks on Earth. And essentially all air, by the way, contains radon, which is responsible for most of the dose that Americans receive each year from what they call natural background sources of radiation. And in addition, water contains small amounts of dissolved uranium and thorium, and all organic material, which means plants and animals, contain radioactive carbon and potassium. So you can see there's just no way to hide from this stuff. Some of these materials are ingested in food and water, and others are, like such as radon, are breathed in. You inhale them in. And the dose from terrestrial sources varies in different parts of the world. But locations with higher soil concentrations of uranium and thorium generally have higher doses of radiation for people who live there. And then I mentioned a third form of natural background sources of radiation. And the third one is called internal radiation. Internal radiation basically says that all people have internal radiation, mainly from radioactive potassium-40 and something called carbon-14 inside your body from birth, and therefore you're exposed to it from day one. And the variation in dose from one person to another is not, or I should say, it varies from person to person. So we've got cosmic radiation. We said it was from the sun, terrestrial, from the Earth. And internal radiation is the cumulative radiation sources like potassium-14 and carbon-14 you've been exposed to all your life. But this is not all. Then we've got, let's get a little more specific here, because some of the sources of radiation I'll talk about now can be avoided or lessened. And basically I'm talking about medical radiation. For those who've joined us, my name is Dr. Michael Wald. I'm the Director of Nutritional Services at Integrated Nutrition of Mount Kisco in Westchester, New York. We're talking about how radiation affects the body, possibly shortening human lifespan, increasing risk of a variety of diseases, including cancer. Now, let's talk about medical radiation. We've all heard about X-rays, and there's gamma rays, and other forms of ionizing radiation used to diagnose and treat some medical conditions. So this can be in the form of radiation that penetrates from the outside of the body, or radioactive particles that are swallowed or inserted in your body. And under these categories, we have imaging tests. So there's certain types of imaging tests, such as X-rays and CT scans, and nuclear medicine tests, such as PET scan and bone scans. And these technologies expose people to low levels of radiation in order to cause internal pictures of the body. But do not let the word low levels or low exposure fool you. Some of the powers that be will say, well, we're exposed to low levels or acceptable levels to this or that type of radiation, and that's to somehow imply that these are safe. Well, guess what, folks? You're being exposed to all sorts of levels of radiation, that's for sure. And I promise you, no one's keeping count how much radiation you're exposed to. In fact, I'd also say that it is absolutely impossible to keep track of your radiation exposure. Now, this sounds a little bit helpless at the moment, but it's not. Research has shown, and I've been doing this for years, I mean, we're talking decades, I've been recommending the use of specific antioxidants and specific laboratory tests to make sure that my patients are getting the right dose of antioxidants. For those of you who have listened to my shows before, you've learned a couple of basic things. Number one is, you are not what you eat. You are what you absorb from what you eat. And you're also how your health is dependent upon how your body activates what you eat. So for example, if you take a single antioxidant like vitamin C alone, that can worsen the effects, the biological effects in your body from your radiation exposure. Yes, I said that. I said if you take vitamin C alone or vitamin E alone or selenium alone, these are antioxidants, without combining them properly and dosing them properly, you can make the effects of radiation that you've been exposed to far worse. So just keep listening to what we're talking about. Now let's talk about the exposure of adults to imaging tests. So the amount of radiation in these medical tests obviously depends on the test. So for example, a two-view chest x-ray where they take two x-rays is about what they call 0.1. I won't bore you with the unit names, but we'll just call it 0.1 exposure. But exposure of a CT scan to your chest is about 7 or 8 radiation exposures. Now, the exposure from a PET scan or a CT scan, which, you know, obviously combines a PET scan of the body with CT together, can be as high as 30 units of radiation dose. Fluoroscopy, which uses x-rays to make what are called real-time moving images, is like getting many x-rays in a row. It's insane. Now, it exposes people to different amounts of radiation depending on how long these tests are used. And the amounts of radiation used in many of these imaging tests has gone down over time as technology improves, but doctors don't seem to really care about your prior radiation exposures. They will do tests that they are taught that they need to do. And in fact, I will have to say in their defense, physicians are stuck between a rock and a hard place in this sense. If your back is injured and your doctor does not perform an x-ray or possibly then a CT or an MRI scan and gives you the wrong treatment, that doctor is going to be exposed to legal lawsuits. So doctors, number one, are thinking of themselves. And secondly, that means that you have to think about yourself. If you're going to get any form of x-ray exposures, standard x-rays, CTs, PET scans, fluoroscopy, then you need to know how to use your diet and your antioxidants and when to eat differently and when to take your antioxidants to maximize your exposure. I should say, maximize your resistance to exposure and then the deleterious biological effects that radiation will have in your body. Deleterious means really bad. Now, this brings me to think about children because radiation exposure also varies in children based on the test. So depending on the test, there'll be different amounts of radiation exposure. Now, unless the settings on the scanner are adjusted to body size, then exposure levels can be higher than they would be for an adult in children. So in other words, some radiologic centers, they are not paying attention to adjusting their machines to reduce the exposure, the proportional exposure need for a child compared to an adult. In other words, they're blasting children with adult levels of radiation. You see, the more mass a body has, the more radiation, generally speaking, is going to be needed to perform these tests properly. And sometimes the radiological techs or the protocols for the radiological centers or hospitals do not specify changing the relative radiation doses, just changing the settings on these machines. That's all it takes. So for children, exposure to a radiation from imaging tests is very, very concerning to me. Children, number one, are much more sensitive to radiation than adults. Children are expected to live longer than adults, so they have a longer time to develop problems from radiation exposure that they received when they were young. And additionally, with tests like CT scans, children might receive a higher radiation dose than necessary if the CT setting was not adjusted for their smaller body size. So these factors mean a lot for a young child. The risk of developing radiation-related cancer could be several times higher than for adults exposed to the same imaging tests. The risks from these tests are not even known for sure, but to be safe, most doctors should be recommending that children only get these sorts of imaging tests when they are absolutely needed. When such tests are done, it's important to minimize the amount of radiation. That's number one. But step two is, because you can't count on whether or not the radiologic center is going to do that, you need to make sure that your children or yourself, whoever is getting radiation exposure, maximizes their antioxidant protection. So let's talk a little bit more about exposure to X-rays and gamma rays. Now, at the end of the day, you don't need to remember the different types of radiation because they basically affect the body in some very similar ways. All forms of radiation tend to cause DNA damage. And we know this. We know this based on common sense. And we know this based on some very interesting studies that expose body cells with DNA in them to various doses of radiation. And then they were able to measure the breakdown of the DNA because of the presence of certain breakdown proteins that were caused from the radiation damaging the DNA proteins. Now, when they took rats, for example, and people, and they fed them the proper antioxidants and then exposed them to radiation, guess what? They had about 50% as much damage. So they were protected 50% from the damaging effects of radiation just by taking the right antioxidants and foods. This is astounding to me. This is amazing. And it's also frightening because medicine pays zero attention. For example, a large percentage of my patient population has cancer, has various diagnoses of cancer, and they are told to stay away from all antioxidants. Now, there are times when antioxidants should be avoided, but there are also times when antioxidants can be taken to mitigate or reduce the damaging effects of, let's say, radiation used on tumors. So it doesn't have to be black or white. There is a right time and place and dosing and method of taking the proper antioxidants. So when your oncologist, when your cancer doctor tells you, stop all your nutrients, you need to see a qualified nutritionist or clinical nutritionist, or better yet, a nutritionist at a similar level to myself where I can do laboratory tests. See, dietitians cannot do laboratory tests. Certified clinical nutritionists cannot. Certified nutritional specialists cannot. Persons with master's degrees and PhD degrees in nutrition cannot do testing. You have to be some form of a licensed doctor that allows you to do these tests so I can do these tests. Hence, I am the blood detective. I do lots and lots of blood tests because blood gives us the hidden secrets or not so hidden secrets to maximizing our health potential and getting healthy in the first place. So let me just do a brief review of some of the ways that we're exposed to radiation. Number one, we talked about natural background radiation. There are three main sources. Natural background radiation is one of them. So that comes from the cosmic rays from our solar system and radioactive elements normally present in the soil. So this is perhaps the major contributor to worldwide radiation exposure, which is natural background. So you cannot reduce your exposure unless you move off the planet. And then again, the other planet you might move to might have more radiation, but who knows? Anyway, then there's medical radiation. So medical radiation is used for X-rays, for CT scans and other tests, as well as for radiation therapy, for cancer, for example. So radiation therapy is used to treat some types of cancer and involves dosages many thousands of times higher than those used in diagnostic X-rays. And as much as your doctors might say to you, well, the radiation we use to treat tumors is very exacting and it doesn't affect other cells, we know this is not true. We know it's not true. And then there's the third category of sources of radiation. Number one was natural background. Number two was medical radiation. And now it's Number three, non-medical or man-made radiation. So with the man-made, it's used in small amounts in food irradiation, airport security scanners, we all know that, and some consumer products. Exposure to man-made radiation can happen in certain workplaces or in communities as a result of, for example, above-ground nuclear weapons testing and nuclear accidents. So what I want to do right now is we're going to talk about some of the studies here that talk about the proper use of antioxidants. The first thing we know is, here's a study here in the Advanced Experimental Medical Biological Journal. Say that three times fast. I just wanted to read you the first line of this study because it just exposes so much of the hidden agenda of those areas of healthcare that give no importance to nutrition. But this well-renowned journal, in an article entitled "Antioxidants Reduce Consequences of Radiation Exposure." Let me read that again. Antioxidants reduce consequences of radiation exposure. How more clear can we be? Here's the first line of the study abstract. Antioxidants have been studied for their capacity to reduce the cytotoxic effects of radiation. That means the cell killing effects in normal tissues for at least 50 years. So what that's saying to us is, a person who has higher levels of specific antioxidants in their bodies, when they are exposed to radiation and radiation starts to damage the cells, that's called cytotoxic. The word cyto means cell and toxic is obviously toxic. In this case, cell death. Cytotoxic effects from radiation, those can be slowed, prevented, and in some cases even reversed with the appropriate antioxidants. And as I've always said on my shows, even if we know exactly what to do, take antioxidants in this case, figuring out the right dose and type and combination depends on a few things. I'm going to let you know the blood detective way of figuring this out. Number one, I need to do tests of your absorption. Do you absorb normally? If you do not, and if you're over 50, you definitely do not. Or if you've been exposed to radiation before, your need for nutrition is much higher than average. I personally do not care about averages. The average individual does not exist. I deal in realities, meaning I sit with one person at a time. I run some blood tests of, are you absorbing? Then I do tests of oxidative stress. Now, this is the first time in the show today I've mentioned the term oxidation. Don't get intimidated by the word. Oxidation is like inflammation. Oxidation is a breakdown process in the body. Human beings basically age. We also get disease from oxidative stress. And that is why we have certain nutrients that are called antioxidants. So the idea there is that if human beings age by oxidative stress, if when we're exposed to various radiation sources, that is the topic of today's show, how radiation can create biological defects in your cells, giving you cancer, is because the radiation induces what's called oxidative stress. So there are compounds in the body known as free radicals. Free radicals are highly reactive compounds that buzz around your cells in the fluids of your body, and as they bounce off parts of your cells, they damage them. So think of free radicals similarly to a pinball machine. The pinball itself is the free radical, and as it bounces off those different bumpers in the pinball machine in the body, it would damage the body due to oxidative stress. When you are exposed to radiation, your body is being introduced truckloads of various of oxidants that then promote the production in your body of these free radical compounds that just damage your DNA material. When your DNA, that's the intelligence of your cell, is damaged, your cells that are damaged make more damaged cells, and they themselves, because they're damaged, produce chemicals which are, you can think of them as damaged chemicals, the wrong chemicals. The wrong chemical signals, and what those chemical signals do is that they trigger other cells in the body to just react wrong. And this is overall, by the way, called cell-to-cell communication. That just means that one of your cells is damaged. It produces damaged chemicals. These chemicals they're basically the language of the cell. So that abnormal language then tells the cell next to it, or the cells around it, maybe many more than one cell at a time, that it gives it the wrong signal. So it also may become a cancerous cell. So one cancerous, an abnormal cell, tells another cell the wrong message, which tells another cell the wrong message. And this happens such that one single free radical molecule, one single free radical molecule can precipitate 100,000 free radical reactions. All you need to know by that statement is it doesn't take a lot of radiation exposure to get the ball rolling, get the dominoes falling in terms of damage to your DNA, which can end up giving you cancer. I also need to say, as a disclaimer at the moment, that I cannot guarantee you by taking antioxidants that you will mitigate all of the damaging effects of your radiation exposures that you've had in the past that you may be having in the future. But the research is there that this is a very, very strong possibility. It's been proven in some very nice studies. And again, it is up to you to introduce these concepts into your daily life. So we said a moment ago that antioxidants have been studied for their capacity to reduce the effects of radiation upon cells and tissues for about 50 years. And when I tell this to patients, they say to me, Dr. Wald, how can we have known, how can scientists and perhaps doctors have known that by simply taking antioxidants, we can reduce the probability of developing various diseases and cancers? And it's such a relatively inexpensive thing. Well, the only explanation I can give you is one of ignorance. Most doctors do not know this. They simply do not know it. It's not like they learn it in medical school. They simply don't. I've also said on other episodes of Ask the Blood Detective that the average physician has less than 30 hours of nutrition education. It's extremely basic. What you are learning here today is very advanced. But according to other observations, these sorts of breakthroughs in science and medicine that can clearly help tens of millions of people on the planet from getting disease, like taking antioxidants, they take an average of 50, sometimes as long as 75 years before they make their way into the general education and the practice of science. So it really is part of that. In earlier Blood Detective shows, and you can listen to all of them on my blog, by the way, at integratednutritionny.com. Just go to the blog section or to blooddetective.com. You'll get all of the radio shows. Just scroll down the page. I did a show on medical education and a much more detailed description of why and how nutrition and other forms of healthcare are so slow into making their way into medicine. But guess what, folks? You don't have to wait for that because you have the information now. So let me pick up where I left off before when I was talking about how do I approach, as the blood detective, a person that comes to me and says, I want to make sure I'm taking the right antioxidants for health and to maximize my protection against and repair from radiation that I've had and that I will be exposed to. Well, let me first respond to that statement. Yes, you can reduce the potentially cancer-causing effects, the damage to some of your DNA, by beginning the proper antioxidant dosing right now. This is one of those cases in healthcare and natural health where just because you've already been exposed to the radiation, it doesn't mean you cannot make up for things. You definitely or almost certainly can. And there's a certain way that you would take antioxidants when and closer to new radiation exposures. The quick answer regarding that is it's best to take antioxidants a few days after your exposure to various forms of radiation. That's the general rule. but I do make these decisions on a case-by-case basis. So number one, I do a variety of blood tests and urine tests that are consistent with the health goals of the person I'm sitting in front of. Secondly, I will do specific types of tests like absorption tests. If you don't know how someone's absorbing, then you can't dose them properly with antioxidants, and you certainly cannot fix their absorption. Next, I will do tests of oxidative antioxidant levels, how the body uses specific antioxidants, and I even measure an important chemical called MDA, which is an overall measure of oxidative stress in the body. So if I'm giving someone the right doses of antioxidants, I'm going to be able to measure the level of this chemical, of this MDA, getting lower and lower and lower. And then if the person's been exposed to radiation and their MDA levels get very elevated, once again, give the appropriate antioxidants to the individual such that that MDA level is either not detectable or as low as possible. I also do a few other important assessments. Number one, I measure vitamin C levels in the urine. I do tests of vitamin C use in the urine. In other words, if you think that taking the antioxidant vitamin C will reduce the effects in the body, in your body, of your radiation exposures, then you should not have a large amount. If vitamin C is working well for this purpose, you should not have a large amount of the evil form of vitamin C in your urine, which is the oxidized form called dehydroascorbic acid. All you need to remember is this. There is vitamin C, which is an antioxidant, and then there's the evil version, which is the oxidant form. And these two types can be distinguished in laboratory tests. We want to make sure that you do not have high levels of the oxidized evil vitamin C. If you do, it implies that you need to take specific other antioxidants that will, in a sense, recycle the vitamin C, changing it from the evil vitamin C to the good vitamin C. And this can be tested for each person. So can the MDA levels, that oxidant, that bad oxidant that I mentioned before. The other thing that's very important, remember at the beginning of the show, I suggested that, well, what's a fact really, is that radiation exposure to a person who's larger as opposed to a person who's smaller, and certainly children, need to be proportionate. The radiation exposure, the dose, needs to be proportionate to body size. Basically speaking, if you're a larger person, you'll need more radiation to get through you. Let's say if your doctor's taking an X-ray or a CT scan or a PET scan or doing a fluoroscopy testing that involves radiation, the bigger you are, the more you're going to need, the more radiation dose to get a picture. If you're a small child, you'll need less radiation dose. Here's my point. I measure the percentage of muscle, water, and fat on the body. The lean body mass I have found tells a lot about the dose of antioxidants that someone needs. In other words, if someone has more lean organ mass in the body is everything in the body except for fat. That's how you can remember it. Lean organ mass is very important in terms of the effects of radiation dose. Fundamentally speaking, the more lean body mass you have, the more weight you have there, the higher the dose of antioxidants you will need relative to your radiation exposure. So the more lean body mass you have, that should have something to do with the amount of radiation you're given in the first place. But the more lean body mass you have, the more antioxidants you need. So you need more antioxidants in the form of nutritional supplements and foods, especially nutritional supplements. And the amount of antioxidants should be based upon a careful conversation too that, let's say, you and I would have about what your radiation exposures have been in the past, and then what they're probably going to be as you move on in life, given all the natural and non-natural, meaning medical exposures to radiation that you might have. So whenever I have a patient of mine saying, Dr. Wald, should I get this CT colonoscopy? Should I do this fast CT to find out if there's calcium in my coronary arteries? Or Dr. Wald, I don't want to do this test because of the radiation exposure. People will know these things. And then we discuss whether or not the benefits of that test that will expose you inevitably to radiation still outweighs the disease process that you might have or dysfunction that you might have, that curing that would be worth doing. In other words, sometimes doing exposure to radiation is a needed thing. But in every case, we can take steps to modify your antioxidant intake, to do some laboratory tests to give us a better idea of the dose of antioxidants that you need, and even give us an idea of how well some of these antioxidants are working in your body. So we have something for every scenario. If someone must be exposed to radiation, we can use nutrition to modify the biological effects on their body, the pro-cancer causing effects on the body, or at least the increased risk of cancers. And then we can make sure that the dose that the person is taking is appropriate. Now, I want you to listen to this statement regarding radiation therapy. So X-rays, gamma rays, and other forms of ionizing radiation offer an effective way to treat certain kinds of cancer. So they're used in medicine. So during, let's say, radiation therapy, high doses of ionizing radiation, much higher than those used for just imaging tests, the amount of radiation used, the ionizing radiation, for, let's say, cancer treatment, results in the death of the cancer cells. They give so much radiation, it kills the cancer cells. But this also can lead to what are called DNA, that's your genetic material, DNA mutations in other cells that survive the radiation, which may eventually lead to the development of a second cancer. Radiation therapy is also sometimes used to treat serious medical conditions besides cancer. But let me say this again. Even in the cases where radiation is needed, let's say to target cancer in your body, we know that some of those cells will survive. They will have mutated DNA that survive that radiation, and they can eventually lead to the development of a second cancer. Now, for those physicians out there or other persons in high levels that are listening to this saying this is nonsense and this is not true, well, I would direct you to the American Cancer Society website, where if you look up radiation, that is where I took that statement from. So we know, even the American Cancer Society website tells us that radiation therapies, and I quote, can lead to DNA mutations in other cells that survive the radiation, which may eventually lead to the development of a second cancer. Now, I also want to say is not only a second cancer, but maybe many other cancers. And that those cancers that can be caused by radiation exposure, let's say now, may not show up for 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. They can occur at any time, and it is not a predictable thing. So here's something interesting and practical. And this you'll find in the friendly journal known as the Journal of Vascular Interventional Radiology. So not everyone reads this, but there's an article. This is March 2017. Antioxidants, here's the title, antioxidants taken orally prior to diagnostic radiation exposure can prevent DNA injury. Oh my goodness. Can you believe this? So what they did here basically is that they looked at patients undergoing bone scans, and they treated them with oral antioxidants before scanning. And when they did this, compared to those that did not take the antioxidants, they saw that they significantly prevented DNA damage in the group that took the antioxidants. It's just amazing. They proved yet once again that radiation-induced DNA damage from imaging studies, like a bone density test, can be prevented or in large measure reduced by just taking oral antioxidants. And they gave specific ones. They gave vitamin C along with N-acetylcysteine and lipoic acid and beta carotene. Now, they gave 2,000 milligrams of vitamin C, 1.2 grams of N-acetylcysteine, 600 milligrams of lipoic acid, and 30 milligrams of beta carotene. But you don't have to remember that because the dose that you need is going to be different. But it should consist of at least those antioxidants unless you have a health or medical reason not to take some of those antioxidants. For example, there are several forms of chemotherapy that may be adversely interfered with by N-acetylcysteine, but there are other forms of chemotherapy that might actually be helped by taking N-acetylcysteine. So it is not true to say that nutrition is only good. Nutrition can hurt you badly, and nutrition can help you extremely well. In my office, I prefer to use sonogram bone density testing. Sonogram uses sound waves. The sound waves bounce off bone, and depending on the density of your bones, the bounce back is different. And we know that sonogram bone density is just as good as the DEXA radiation bone density tests. You know, I read a study that explained at some point years ago why doctors still prefer to use the DEXA scans and not the bone density tests like I use that use sonogram against the calcaneal bone. That's your heel bone. And the reason given by a lot of these hospital personnel is they don't like to use the sonogram testing because they had to bend down to use the machine. I'm not kidding. That was the reason why. So I have no problem bending down to do bone density tests using sonogram, and I do that. And that's what we do to reduce our exposure to radiation. Number one, we want to reduce our exposure to radiation if we can do it. You want to ask your doctor, are there alternative tests? In other words, doc, instead of using mammography, which we know statistically causes more cancer than it prevents due to the crushing of cancer cells, the release of those cells, they can propagate and be circulated throughout the human body, and also the radiation exposed to the breast of a woman during mammography, is there a substitute? Can I, doctor, use a combination of sonogram and MRI instead? And studies show that it's probably much better. So there are alternatives. Many doctors are uncomfortable using alternatives because they simply don't know about them. And by you mentioning them doesn't mean that they get all inspired and go home that night and say, hey, I'm going to improve what I do. Doctors are basically going to do what is generally done in their fields. It takes a very strong-minded individual in medicine and a free-thinking individual to think outside of that box. And that is something that you are going to need to do as a responsible individual, your own personal blood detective. You're going to need to do that. You're going to need to search for these non-radiation alternatives. That's number one. Reducing your exposure to radiation when possible, finding non-radiation methods if they exist. And secondly, do the appropriate laboratory testing and detailed health interviews with someone like me to figure out what antioxidants you need. And very importantly, is your body using those antioxidants correctly? You know, now what they did in this study that I just read to you, that titled The Antioxidants Taken Orally, in other words, by mouth, prior to radiation exposure can prevent the DNA damage. They looked at the DNA damage in what is called the peripheral blood mononuclear cells, and they found that there was none of the radiation damage. Now, that is a very generalized statement because depending on the dose that you have gotten or that you will get of radiation, just because you take oral antioxidants prior to your exposure doesn't mean you're taking the right amount. So there are a number of factors that determine your dose of antioxidants. One of the practical things that I do with my patients is I have put together four powdered nutritional products called Detox, D-T-O-X, Detox 1, Detox 2, Detox 3, and Detox 4. And these are basically superfoods. One of them is green color, the other one is purple, orange, and red. And the color change is between them are due to the concentration of different plant products. These also taste really delicious. I put all of my patients on one level scoop of each of these four products mixed together all at one time to taste, and they drink this throughout the day. If a person is overweight, I'll give them 2 scoops of each of detox 1, 2, 3, and 4. Now, on my blooddetective.com website, you can order these if you'd like. Detox 1, 2, 3, and 4, you can mix them into smoothies. What I like to do is mix 2 scoops of each of detox 1, 2, 3, 4 in a big container. And I drink it all through the day, even prior to my workouts, during my workouts. I'll also put a handful of organic frozen berries into my smoothie. I'll add my vegan protein to that. I'll also usually add a scoop or two of raw cashew butter, some hemp seeds, and I make a delicious concoction which fills me up nicely and doesn't overfill me. I'll usually add some maca powder in that as well. So that's just what I like to do. But you can also just take the detox 1 through 4 all by themselves. And I have found in a majority of patients that I've examined that I can lower the oxidative stress by lowering the MDA levels in a person's urine. I also can effectively increase their vitamin C levels, but also prove that they're using their vitamin C normally. So it's important to do some basic tests and to take some baseline plant products like Detox 1, 2, 3, and 4, which give us a baseline. Then, given your particular concerns, given the rest of your health history, your health goals, and other factors, I determine how to augment or improve upon or to personalize further antioxidants that you might need on top of the detox 1, 2, 3, and 4. In other words, you might need extra amounts of N-acetylcysteine. You might need extra amounts of alpha lipoic acid. You might need extra amounts of the natural form of vitamin E. So all of this is based upon some urine testing, some blood testing, and a bioimpedance percentage of muscle, water, and fat test. And you know, for some of you out there, and there's not many, I'm sure, that are listening to this show that don't believe this, although sometimes I'll have individuals listening to the show who will then contact me and challenge the scientific validity of some of my statements, I want to direct you to a New York Times article, which you can find on time.com. And the title of this story they did was A Possible Antidote for Radiation Exposure from CT Scans. And here's what they found. They said that scientists from the University of Toronto had figured out that antioxidants can help reduce the radiation damage from X-rays. And they talk about the damage that results from X-rays. And they reported at an annual meeting of the Society of Interventional Radiology that the antioxidant concoction, they mixed up a bunch of antioxidants, and they found that it reduced the DNA damage caused by CT scans by as much as 50% as long as the person took this concoction of antioxidants before the scan. It's just unbelievable to me that this is still essentially unknown information. And they further explained in this article how the concoction of antioxidants worked by blocking the effects of free radicals, which are those unstable compounds that we talked about earlier that are produced in the body when radioactive waves collide with water in the body, and they generate this radiation. And they talk about the free radicals damaging the DNA and that being responsible for premature aging and death of cells. So they flooded the body with antioxidants, which they found neutralized the free radicals prior to receiving the CT scans and X-rays. It's just unbelievable. So they even went further and they tested the theory even more. And they tagged a protein that repairs DNA with a special fluorescent marker in blood samples in these study participants, and they basically found that there was far less DNA damage. So they were able to show this unequivocally. So they also suggest that for people who, you know, are concerned about radiation from mammographies and CT scans to detect colon cancer. And then a number of people they mentioned who want to get a coronary calcium screen to pick up signs of future heart trouble, that using antioxidants appropriately would be a good thing, is what they said. I say it would be a freaking great thing if you ask me. Yes, I did say freaking. But I'm not done yet. There was another study in a research journal entitled Antioxidant Diet Supplementation Starting 24 Hours After Exposure Reduces Radiation Lethality, meaning the ability of the radiation to kill you. So basically, they talked all about the things we talked about on the show, how radiation exposure causes the free radicals that break down the DNA and cause abnormal cells and could do cancer. They reported, let me read you this, we report the unexpected finding that antioxidant supplementation starting 24 hours after total body irradiation resulted in better survival than antioxidant supplementation starting soon after the radiation. So this study actually came up with a distinction. They mentioned that it's better here to start antioxidants before and as opposed to after. But I can tell you that this study isn't complete. There are other studies that show that there are times where you want to take it after as well. In fact, my belief is you want a certain amount of antioxidants balanced to your blood chemistry taken every day. The bottom line is, if your antioxidant and oxidant type tests are looking good, then we know you're in the best protective place for any future exposure and any damaging effects that may be occurring in your biology without you knowing it. If your vitamin C levels are great, if your vitamin C use is great, if your MDA level, that oxidizing chemical, is low. So there are ways that we know. So they talked about how the antioxidant dietary supplement that they use was selenomethionine, sodium ascorbate, which is vitamin C, N-acetylcysteine, lipoic acid, and alpha-tocopherol succinate, which is a natural form of vitamin E, and coenzyme Q10. And they exposed these mice to various levels of radiation, and they found that the radiation protection was astounding when they started the antioxidant formulation 24 hours after. Now, again, I want to remind you that the dosing is important. These studies are just studies of mice or indirectly making conclusions about human beings. It's important that we do the testing for each human being. So in my experience, and I have 27 years of experience doing this type of work, that the optimal timing and administration of antioxidants needs to be specifically figured out for the person. We also know, studies have shown, and I have a study in front of me too, it talks about how, for example, vitamin A, which is a very important antioxidant, is most effective when you give it under higher atmospheric pressures. So that's an example of, I use hyperbaric oxygen when I feed people these antioxidants. It basically pushes it deeper into tissues. The last thing I want to leave you with is a combination of antioxidants are important. We need to figure that out for your needs. We need to do the right laboratory tests. So, wow, that was a lot to say today on how radiation exposure can affect your body by giving you cancer, by causing oxidative stress. But we know that if you take the right antioxidants, you can significantly mitigate those problems. You've been listening to Ask the Blood Detective. My name is Dr. Michael Wald. Please send me your show topic ideas to info@blooddetective.com. You can call, you can schedule with me if you'd like to work with me personally at 914-552-1442. We'll talk soon. Have a great day. Come out, Virginia, don't let me wait. You Catholic girls start much too late. All the sooner or later it comes down to fate. I might as well be the one. Well, they showed you.